The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. God has a word for us this evening about food that fuels the impossible, the bread of life. It's found in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 41, where Jesus is talking. And you may find these words in your service folder. At this time, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I am come down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord. I grew up on the south side of Milwaukee, on 2nd Street between Howard and Holt. I don't know if you know where that is. It doesn't really matter. But I wanted you to know that I grew up on the south side so that I could tell you that my first job when I guess I was about 10 years old, was to have a paper route. And a paper route was this glorious way of making a little money when you're a kid, and you can feel like, well, you can kind of treat yourself with things. My paper route, however, was the Milwaukee Sentinel, which at the time was the morning newspaper for this city, while the Milwaukee Journal was the afternoon paper. So as some of you know, if you've got a morning paper to deliver, it means you got to get up pretty early in the morning. And I got to tell you that I didn't really enjoy getting up at 4 a.m. or so, early enough for people to have the paper before they went to work and before I had to go to school. But there were ways in which I would treat myself. And one way that I did that was, probably twice a week, after my paper route was done, I would treat myself to the local bakery. It was the neighborhood bakery. It was called Greeby's, which is still a brand today. I don't know if they have their own buildings anymore. But this place was on the corner of Howard and Howell. And, it wasn't much to look at. Presentation wasn't the best. But, the smell of that place. I still have, what would you call that, a sensory memory of the smell of that bakery. You know, cakes and donuts and fresh bread. Baking. There's a lot of glorious smells in this world, but at the top of my list, right next to bacon, would have to be bread baking. Jesus comes to us this morning, no, this evening, and he says, I want you to think of me as bread. And there's a lot packed in that metaphor. You know, for instance, bread sustains life, and Jesus gives eternal life. And bread satisfies hunger, right? And Jesus is really the only one who will ultimately satisfy the longings of the human soul. But then there's also this. The smell of bread baking, it just makes you feel better. It makes you feel good. And being with Jesus, being close to Jesus, being in a relationship with Jesus, lifts your spirit. And with all of that in mind, with all of that in mind, I want you to think about what Jesus has to say to you today about being bread. And I want you to spend a little time, enjoy your time in Jesus' bakery. He wants you to know exactly who he is. He wants you to trust exactly what he has done. He is the bread that came from heaven, and he is the bread that takes us to heaven. Now, John chapter 6, which is where this is where we are in our Bibles. John chapter 6 is a really long chapter. It's got 71 verses in it. So that makes it one of the longest chapters in the Bible, and yet it is really dominated by one message. Jesus was preaching a message to a large group of people. So you might be thinking, wow, if he had this huge group that came to hear him preach, he must be really popular. And you'd be right, but it's complicated. The scriptural record is this. The largest crowds that came to hear Jesus or to be around Jesus, to hang out with Jesus, were for the most part wanting miracles. And the miracle that Jesus had performed in John chapter 6, as we're reading in our Bible, is he had fed a very large group of people, probably 10 to 15,000 men, women, and children who had nothing to eat. And so he took a little boy's lunch, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and he just kept multiplying it until that whole crowd of, let's say, 15,000 was satisfied. But deep down in his perfect soul, Jesus knew why the crowd was there listening to him after that. They weren't quite so interested in salvation for their soul as they were for food, with food for their stomach. Now, Jesus was never ever against feeding people food for their stomach. I mean, he proved that, right? By feeding that large crowd miraculously. I mean, he was loving those people when he fed them miraculously. But he loved them more than that. And so he wanted them to have a bread that was more than that. And so he started preaching about the bread that is more than that. A bread that always satisfies. A bread that never leaves you hungry. A bread that doesn't just last like for one day and then you get hungry again, but instead it gives you life forever. And the people are scratching their head. And they're not really getting the message. So Jesus tells them as plainly as he can, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Feed on me, Jesus is saying. Believe in me. Trust in me. And the more the crowds realized that Jesus was no longer offering free lunch, sadly, the more they turned away from him. I will have to admit that when I go to the store to buy bread, I don't read the label. I know that some of you are label readers, and that's a good thing because you're checking it out to see exactly what the ingredients are. You know, is this supposedly healthy bread really healthful? You know, is it really going to promote good health? Is there anything in here that's going to do a number on my digestive system? You know, is it? Am I allergic to anything? So we check the labels. When Jesus says, "I am the bread from heaven," to those people back then and to us tonight, he's really saying, check my label. First of all, he says, I've got heavenly ingredients. I am the bread that came from heaven. And then he says, you know, you can't even come into a believing relationship with me unless God Almighty draws you. Here's the thing. No one can be in a right relationship with the Almighty God except through Jesus Christ. And if we think that our right relationship with the Almighty God comes through anyone or anything else, well, it's kind of like feeding your soul with Doritos and Ho-Hos. Junk food. It tastes good. It might even feel good, but it doesn't have the right ingredients. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the one, the real bread. That's the real bread that we need. And so, disciples of Jesus, like you and I, we check labels. It can be real easy to have this, let me put it this way. Even after God makes us Christians, we still maintain within ourselves kind of this spiritual sweet tooth. You know, like a craving, a natural craving for things that ultimately will not satisfy us eternally. For instance, I am in a right relationship with God because I'm a pretty good person. And God is the God of the pretty good. Or, I am in a right relationship with God because I'm better than most of the people that I know. Or, I am in a right relationship with God because I obey him. Sounds good. Tastes good. Kind of feels good to say it. Junk food. Empty. The only bread that satisfies, the only bread that gets us into a right relationship with God is not ourselves, it is God himself. And Jesus says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. believe in me, trust in me, believe my word to you, trust my sacrifice for you. And here it is, here it is. Set aside every desire you have to save yourself and let me save you. This is what the bread of life is saying tonight. And when we believe that, when we listen to him, oh, there are incredible results. And this is his second great point to us this evening. The whole reason, the whole mission for the bread come down from heaven is to lead us to him. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." And when he said that, people started to grumble. They started to argue with each other. So here Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I have come from heaven. Partake of me and you will live forever." And people received that message. They heard that message and they started to grumble. And they started to complain. And by the way, we're told that this part of the bread of life discourse was happening in and around a synagogue in Capernaum. So in other words, these are what would we call them, church folk, that were grumbling and complaining when Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life. I give you forever life." Now, I would like to cut them some slack. You know, to be invited to trust in Jesus with such startling language, you know, when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, consume me." I mean, that's hard to understand. In fact, we're told in the Bible that even those closest to Jesus said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can understand this?" But what I want you to think about tonight is, what is it that was so hard for them? Was it just because Jesus said, "I am bread"? Is that it? Or was it this? They had their own preconceived notions of what they really needed from this man. And what they needed from this man was not eternal life as much as a full stomach. "Jesus, you would really be helpful to me if you helped me with my daily problem right now rather than all of this eternal life talk." Does that sound familiar? It does to me, because I've been there. Way too often, I've had the bread of life stand in front of me with his word, and instead of seeing him as the grantor of eternal life, I just expect him and want him and really will only honor him if he's like the daily problem solver. Don't get me wrong. Jesus wants to help us with every problem that we have. He wants to help us with our daily concerns. Didn't he teach us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. But you see, the bread that came down from heaven, whose mission is to lead us to heaven, he wants us to view our daily challenges from that perspective. Do we have real problems that really need to be addressed every day? You bet we do. But Jesus stands before us today and he says this: your problems will never be bigger than eternal life. They will never be big enough to block out the love of God and the forgiveness of sins that we have every day because of Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. And when we focus every day on the enormity of this gift that we have received from Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, it is exactly then when our daily problems get smaller and smaller and smaller. The Apostle Paul once put it this way: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Truth is, for every trouble we have in our Christian walk, every hardship, every pain, every problem, there is a bread that heals. That bread is the one who stood before the crowd and said, "The one who believes in me has eternal life." Right now. Not will have eternal life. Has eternal life right now. He is the bread that gives eternal life right now. Because, you see, he takes a look at all of our problems and he guarantees an inheritance that never spoils or fades. This is what it means to have everlasting life right now. It's not a perfect problem-free life. It's a perfect Savior who wraps you in his perfection and then leads you to a perfect heavenly home. A number of years ago, I started taking a multivitamin supplement because, well, you know, getting older. And I have to chuckle at what's on the label of that vitamin. It's the brand name, and then sort of like as a subtitle, it says, "For men 50 and wiser." So not 50 and older, because you're not getting older if you take this vitamin. You're getting wiser. Jesus comes to us today, and he says, "You take me, receive me. Consume me. Take me as the bread of life. Believe in me. No supplement necessary." Believing in Jesus Christ for eternal life does not need to be supplemented. He came from heaven to take you to heaven. Sit at his table every day. Fill your soul with his love and with his forgiveness. And one day you will enjoy his heavenly banquet forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, draw us to thee. O grant that we may walk the road to heaven Direct our way, lest we should stray and from thy paths be driven. Draw us to thee, that also we thy heavenly bliss inherit, and ever dwell where sin and hell no more can vex our spirit. Amen.